Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for this 20th of October. We are 5 days away from our meeting in North Georgia, where we have our monthly meeting with our group that normally we meet on Tuesday nights. We still meet on Tuesday nights, but once a month we're opening it up for a 5 o'clock on Sunday, October the 25th. We're trying to do the final Sunday of each month. COVID knocked us out for most of 2020, but we're back at it. We do have a few people that like to join us from outside of the region that come in for that once a month meeting. We encourage you to do so. You can find the address at our website, paulwhiteministries.com. Of course, we record and air those. That message we just posted last Sunday was from last month's meeting. We put that up so that you could see it before this next one. And of course, most of you can't make that meeting, but we will record it and put that up very soon. We're in Psalms 23. We're working through this beautiful poetic passage, this beautiful song of the Lord who is the shepherd of his people. It's a psalm of David. It is easily the most famous chapter in the Bible. I think that's probably without dispute. Most people could almost quote this chapter, might be able to quote it in a pinch. It's not that long. It flows very, very well. And it's such a glorification of the beauty of your good shepherd. And it ought to set your heart at ease. It's one of those psalms that, interestingly enough, is often used at funerals. I've done a lot of funerals in my ministry, and I've been asked to do the 23rd Psalm. I'd say half the time, that's what people choose. And I think it's because it just makes us feel better. It makes us feel better to know that someone's watching out for us. That even though, and I think a lot of times it's used in funerals because of that famous fourth verse, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, you're with me." Well, we talked about yesterday, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And we need comfort when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. So I get it. And so I'm always glad to read it. I always like to do a little more than read it, even at a funeral, is to try to explain a little bit about what's happening, to try to set hearts at ease, try to put give people some peace, because I think that's vital. That's the whole reason for doing it. We don't have funerals for the dead. We have funerals for the living. And so the living need to know that this is not the end, that they're going to get through this. Here's something else we need to know. The fifth verse says this: "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." The fifth verse, to me, tells me that... Let me start over. To me, I see it this way. We're still in the valley of the shadow of death, because that's where evil is hunting us. But God's with us. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's the rod and the staff of God. And in the middle of that moment, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The reason that I think verse 5 happens in the middle of verse 4 is because I think it's in the valley of the shadow of death where the enemies become stark. It's where you really see them. It's harder to see the enemies when you're sitting by green grass and still waters, your soul's being restored, and you're led in the paths of righteousness. But it's when you go, notice the rod and staff don't come into the story till you get in the valley of the shadow of death, because he doesn't need a rod and a staff as long as you're by green grass and still waters, etc. It's when you go into the valleys of life. It's when you go face the fire. It's when you go fight the dragon. It's all when you go down into the wilderness, all these archetypes, all these images. It's there that you finally need the rod and the staff. It's there that you need fed in the presence of your enemies, because that's where your enemies are. They're in that valley of the shadow of death. But notice that even in the middle of that, he's going to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Your father, you are going to feast on the goodness of God even in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death. So you don't have to come out of your stuff to see the favor of God. You are destined to see the favor of God in the middle of your stuff, in the middle of your circumstance and whatever junk you're going through. He prepares that table before you, not away from your enemies, but in the presence of your enemies. If you marry this concept to what Jesus says about your enemies, which is don't resist an evil person, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, and then you realize that Jesus was always feeding the people around him. He was always feeding the hungry. He was always feeding the poor. he was always telling stories about people getting fed, whether it was the prodigal son and the fatted calf, whether it was the filling of the bellies of the good Samaritan, pouring on the oil and the wine and making sure he had enough to eat, whatever. He's always in that mode of feeding. If you marry that concept of I love my enemies and I pray for my persecutor with the idea that my good shepherd's preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies, what do you think you're going to do with your enemies as you sit at that table? Odds are you're going to invite them to that table. So it's interesting to me that God lays out a table in the presence of your enemies because Jesus made a practice of eating with those who considered themselves his enemy. Because there's no better way to break down the walls of confrontation and struggle than to eat with your enemy. And I don't think that eating in the presence of your enemies just means you're going to eat when times are rough and you're going to be blessed. That's part of it. I don't think that's the reason why the table's in the presence of your enemies. I think it's in the presence of your enemies so that you have a means by which you can convert your enemies into your friends. Nothing does that like eating. So the table that the Father is preparing, never forget this. This has been transformative in my own life. What God is doing in you, he is not only doing for you, he is doing it because of the people around you. You are blessed to be a blessing. You are fed to feed the other guy. If he feeds you in the presence of your enemies, it's not so that your enemies will get jealous. We got to get out of that mindset. I hear Christians say stuff like that, like, oh, God wants to bless me in front of these people so they're jealous and they want to know the Lord. No, God blesses you in front of these people so that they see that you've got something they can eat. And you're supposed to be blessing them. And if you'll do that, you'll probably find that you have fewer enemies than you thought you did. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. And these two are connected to eating in the presence of your enemies. The head anointed with oil is not just kingship, because that's what we often think, is that you know you poured the oil over David's head and he became king. But the shepherd would pour oil on the heads of the sheep to keep the flies off of their face. The sheep didn't have any way to protect themselves from the flies. And so the oil would tend to protect them. And when your head is anointed with oil, it keeps you from Beelzebub. Beelzebub in the Greek is Lord of the Flies. An indicator, that's a more of a spiritual demonic connotation in the Greek. But if you consider that the oil protects you from the flies, it's the presence of his spirit on your life, massaged in there by your good shepherd, that provides you protection from the flies of the world. And the flies are, the flies are usually heading after things that have no protection and are dying or are dead. And I was reading a novel recently about the crucifixion, and I'd never read anyone say this, but at crucifixions, the victim that was dying on the cross would have been so covered in flies that you couldn't see their face. And I had never considered that our Lord Jesus was probably covered in that moment by flies. There's a lot of spiritual depth there too, to that Beelzebub statement and the fact that he's attacked like that on the cross. But your head's been protected with the oil. Your cup runs over. So you don't just have enough. You have more than enough. This is what your good shepherd is doing. We'll close Psalm 23 tomorrow. See you then. Have a great day. God bless you.